Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 62, the first paragraph, Selfishness, Self-Centeredness, ending, Placed Us in a Position to be Hurt. Reading and commenting on one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., 12 Traditions, Deb E., readers of the text, Jordan L., Elaine B., and Lois P. The reference number for Thursday, February 16th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,971. That's 19971. And for this morning, Friday, February 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,973. That's 19973. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reggie O., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Alex K., recovered compulsive eater in California. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Grateful to do service. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex K. I'll now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Deb E. in Montana, and I'm a compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I am thanking you for the opportunity to do service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 62, the first paragraph, Selfishness, Self-Centeredness, ending, Placed Us in a Position to be Hurt. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading.
Hey, thanks, Don, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with my fellow compulsive overeaters this morning. So selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So, real quick, If we go back to the paragraph before this, it was talking about the businessman in the Florida sunshine, the minister, the politician, and the alcoholic who is lost all and is locked up. For a long time, I did not understand what these two paragraphs meant. It's not to say that I have some great understanding now, but I do, my experience with working these steps is that more is revealed. And my experience with reading this book is that more is revealed. And what I found about that paragraph before, it's really talking about, it hit me actually yesterday during the shares, it's really talking about these people that, think they have a solution, but aren't really willing to take any action, you know? So maybe they've even made a decision, but haven't taken any action to back up that decision. So this paragraph here is starting, it starts to hit at the heart of the kind of action that we can take here. We're about to take our third step. We're sort of on the precipice, if you will, of making our third step decision. and it's starting to almost foreshadow the action that we're going to take as far as looking at our fear, our self-delusion, our self-seeking, and our self-pity. And the other thing, too, I think you can read this paragraph as like, you're so bad, and that's why you're a compulsive overeater, and you know, like God is punishing you or whatever. I think you can definitely read that paragraph as this, like you're so bad, we have to look at all the ways that you're awful and horrible and fix you, you know? And I got to tell you, that's not my experience with this program, in any way, shape, or form. That's old thinking, old ways of thinking that might get in the way of what I'm trying to do here. What I'm trying to do here is find a new way of life. Self-propulsion has not been working out for me. and I have to find a new way of propelling through life. And so I start with the fear, the self-delusion, the self-seeking, and the self-pity that's blocking me from this higher power. And so I start with those blocks, and then I'm able to find out what's on the other side of those blocks. It's kind of like being on one side of a brick wall. I'll finish up. If I'm on the one side of a brick wall, I'm up real close. It's a foot in front of me. I can't see anything. Can't see anything else in front of me except for that brick wall. And these steps, they take me back. They give me a bigger perspective so I can see beyond the brick wall. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Irene.
Jen H.
From Louisiana.
Donna W.
Laura W.
From New York.
Okay, let's go back. I need to hear people saying one name at a time. I did hear Jen H. I did hear Irene B. I did hear Elaine G.
Donna
W. Donna W. Okay, I have Jen H., Irene B., Elaine G., Donna W. Who did I miss? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Jen H., Jen H., Irene B. Yeah, Jen H., Irene B., Elaine G., Donna W., and go ahead, Jen.
Jen H., recovered bulimic, recovering compulsive eater. In California, the reading sticks out to me because it doesn't say that alcohol is the root of my trouble. It doesn't say that artificial sweeteners and protein bars are the root of my trouble. It says self. Over and over in this book, it says self. And the root of my trouble is who I am apart from God. I just put down my alcoholic ingredients. I wanted to share on the line because I've been in a vision for you since it first started. And my recovery has ebbed and flowed. I had long-term abstinence and then picked up food and struggled with that and then didn't want to tell anybody on the line. So I think I'm just wanting to say that, and as a gutter food addict, this morning is the first time that I didn't put, you know, anything in my coffee, and that's scary, but I feel like I'm willing, and have made a decision. I have a sponsor. I'm looking forward to that, but you know, I'm kind of on the hour right now. I'm on the hour. And I thank everyone for being on the line. I just don't want to separate myself and hold my secret anymore. I've been off track for a long time, and, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater. Gutter, have been since I was 15. Thanks, everyone, for being on the line. This is Jen H. from California. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jen H. We are all standing with you. Irene B., please share, followed by Elaine G.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a very grateful recovered bulimic from Louisiana. Okay, I wrote this down and I'm going to read it because this is really important to me. In my dysfunction, denial, and disassociation, I've lived in blindness. And until recently, I didn't even realize that I am totally and completely fear-driven, people-pleasing to get the love and validation that I seek so desperately. I seek love and validation so I can have a sense of ease and comfort to soothe the pain of rejection, abandonment, and utter self-hatred, self-judgment, and self-rejection. I desperately need to love God above all things, and I can't. And I need to to love God above all so that the clamors of the world don't rule and control me anymore. And for me, the only way to overcome my selfishness and self-centeredness is to keep my eyes on my only hope. And to me, my higher power is my only hope. And my higher power is helping me and healing me in ways that I would have never thought would have been possible. So for me, food, I thought food was a problem, but the problem is not food. It's my selfish, self-centeredness, self-seeking. I love what it says in here. 100 forms of fear. That's it. That's me. Self-delusion, absolutely. Self-seeking, self-pity, yes, yes, yes. This is, and the only way I can overcome this is to learn to love myself instead of hating myself, to accept myself. And by the grace of God, I've been able to put down the food, but I have been having trouble with the food. And right now I'm doing a plan that's helping me get a grip. I'm eliminating all sugars, all gluten, everything that could be toxic to my body. And I feel so much better because even though I hadn't gone back to bulimia, I had become an emotional eater because I've been going through this divorce thing. And I guess I couldn't cope, and the divorce was finalized last Monday, and now I feel like, okay, let's get back on the horse. And I have had to clean everything out of my system so I can, like, reboot the computer. I feel like I need to be rebooted, and only my higher power and you guys can help me with that. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Donna W., and if you're just joining us, we're on page 62, the first paragraph, starting with selfishness, self-centeredness, and we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Go ahead, Elaine G.
Okay, thanks. This is Elaine G. from New York, and I'm so glad to be here. I got a lot out of the paragraph. I mean, for one, I realize I'm trying to substitute things, the things that are bothering me. And, yeah, it ended up really dangerous. I mean, like, I was substituting having sugar. Yeah. And soda that had a lot of caffeine. And then one day, you know, like, it was a couple of days ago, I was going to my GYN, and it was getting me so tired, the whole thing. You know, the soda, this happened to my friend, too, that I kept on banging my head. You know, and I said, oh, God, this is really terrible. And my friend, who was also addicted to the soda, told me you gotta like not do it anymore. So I'm drinking water and seltzer, and you know, I was trying to substitute the things that are not going my way. No. And also, I can't fix my sister, you know, who is anxiety-ridden. And then finally, today, I put my sister in my God box and saying, God, I really can't help her. And I can't control, you know, that she's so anxiety-ridden. God, you got to help her. I think I'm going to go call the social worker over there, the assistant living there, and she's going to talk to her. I tried that already. That didn't work. And it's hard to accept, you know, because I had gone with her to get a cell phone, how anxiety-ridden she was, you know, and, you know, to the point that I lost my temper, because she kept on asking the same thing over and over again. And, you know, it's funny, my son, when I was talking to him, he says to me, Ma, don't put any pressure on you and on Marcia. That's his aunt. And at first I got angry that he's telling me what to do. I get my ego. And, you know, he's right. He's right. I was putting pressure on her. And I'm going to tell her, just if she has questions, she has to go to the store. Seems like it's, I get angry. I really get angry. She gets the same thing over and over and over. And she can't help it because she lost a lot of memory, my sister. And I told myself that after this, she gets the cell phone here, I'm going to step back. This is what I have to do, step back. And sometimes I blame people, places, and things for my mood, you know? And what it is really is I'm not working my program the way I should be working it. No, I need to work my steps harder. I need to go to more meetings.
Time.
I need to make service. What do you say, time's up?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Donna W., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. Again, we're sharing on page 62. We're talking about that first paragraph, selfishness, self-centeredness. Donna W., please share.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Donna W. from California. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And, yes, selfish self-centeredness. You know, when I came into program, I did not think I was a self-centered person. And programs taught me that, you know, like I've been thinking, listening to all the shares and thinking, like, I'm self-centered because I think that I'm running the show. And, you know, for a long time, I thought, I've been in program a long time, and I've thought it was all about the food. But the more I work it, you know, first step is not that just I'm powerless over food, but my life is unmanageable. It's not my job to manage my life. And, you know, when I'm tired or stressed, which I have been lately, I just start to, you know, feel like I have to run the show. And I've been noticing, like, things have been coming to me, like, I have my own business, and ideas and solutions that have just like been popping into my head in my sleep, or like I was having some acupuncture, and it's just making me realize like God's running the show. Like, Donna, just, you know, take it easy, relax, don't struggle, you know, and it's, I don't have to figure it all out. Like, it might just come to me from my higher power. At the end of last year, I was like, you know, I could really use one more client before the end of the year, and guess what? God provided me one more client. I'm a little nervous because of the economy, how my business is going to do this year, and I just need to turn it over to God and not be so self-centered and selfish. And I get filled with self-pity. That's a big character defect. But what for me, all the character defects boil down to is that fear, you know? I'm worried. I'm selfish and self-centered because I'm really worried about my needs not being met. Fear. I just really want to remember I have a higher power today. God can run the show. I don't have to run the show. I can relax and take it easy and not struggle. And I'm grateful that I have that opportunity to do that. And I'm just going to, you know, engage with joy today. That sounds a lot more fun than trying to figure it all out. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna W. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Robin P. in Costa Rica?
I believe I heard a Linnea S. and a Robin P.
Carolyn S.
Or
W. Carolyn S. And there was a W, person W.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Deborah G.
And who is the gentleman's voice I heard? I heard a gentleman's voice in there. And I also heard Deborah G. Okay, I have Linnea S., Robin P., Carolyn, Laura W., and Deborah G. Did I miss someone there?
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Okay, let's go ahead with Linnea S., please.
Oh, thank you so much. Actually, it's Linnea B. In Minnesota, that's LANAYAB in Minnesota, Central Time. Selfishness, self-centeredness. I have read this paragraph I don't know how many times, and always it made me defensive and I didn't like it. And I thought to myself, I am not selfish. I am the least selfish person I know. I'm always thinking of other people and how I can be helpful and that kind of thing. And then I just recently took inventory in OA and was shocked to see how much selfishness showed up as a primary character defect. You know, it had been deeply buried under layers of self-justification and denial. And I thought, you know what, this book so nails it. And if I just give myself time, I will relate, you know, as I get healthier and weller. But the thing, you know, driven by 100 forms, we step on the toes of our fellows. And this has been so true. You know, when I've been focused on the food or my appearance or other things that are related to the problem that centers in my mind, when I am trying to manage and control conditions that are beyond me, then I'm not present. I can't have intimate relationships with people. I'm not real, and I'm not living in the moment. And it really does and has hurt the people that I love the most. And they do retaliate. And they have. And so I always think, or I remind myself to bring it back whenever I start to have trouble in my mind, with my feelings and emotions, with my relationships, you know, what I think and how I feel about what I think you might feel and what you might think about me. You know, I'm so glad that we read this book on the meetings and that I read it with my sponsors and that my sponsors have read it with me. It makes it very much in the forefront of my mind, thankfully, so that then the solution pops up. Or I can identify the problem. But the thing that is most important to me about this right now today is that this is in the context of if I'm doing that
time.
Thank you. That as a compulsive overeater, this is where my problem centers in the mind and with reliance on myself. I need a reliance on a higher power if I want to be well. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Robin P., please share with us, followed by Carolyn.
Thanks so much for your service. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. I am Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, I also thought, oh, my gosh, I'm the least selfish person I know. It's so funny. And so, you know, the self-delusion, the fear, the self-seeking and self-pity, but we usually don't think so. You know, we don't believe that. And it's just, it's so perfectly written. I just love this book. And also, even when feeling, you know, like someone hurt us, and then we can look back and see how we set ourselves up sometimes. You know, I didn't believe any of that when I came in. And I've been abstinent for 7 years by God's grace, one day at a time. And I had a low bottom with bulimia and anorexia and compulsive eating, to me it's the same. And I'm just so grateful to be abstinent and have solutions for when that self-centeredness comes up. And, you know, step 10 is just such a gift, literally, from God. And I just think of so many times living in 10, 11, and 12, and how the mental obsession that used to just drive me back to the food, I would just literally just ruminate and then just find myself in the food. And now I have a solution for that. I'm so grateful. I also think of how we must go back to God, that we can't fix ourselves. It's like asking a car to fix itself when it's broken. And I'm just so grateful that I know that today. You know, we're in Costa Rica, and we were in Europe for 3 months traveling, city shopping, and seeing where we want to live. We retired last year. And, we've been back here, and we're not sure this is home. And so I really just get to keep practicing surrendering the self-centeredness. Where are we meant to live, God? When we're meant to know, we will know. And I'm just staying where my feet are, staying connected to God and my fellows, being of service, no matter where we live. Thank God for these meetings and this program. We're all just distance from everyone, most of the people on this meeting, and we're right there with you, and you're right here with me. And I'm so grateful. So God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day and weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Carolyn, please share with us, followed by Laura W.
Yes, thank you. I am Carolyn, recovered but not cured, Carolyn S. in New York. And this paragraph that we're reading and the one after, I went through my sponsor's suggestion and counted the number of times self appeared, even if it was part of another word, like selfishness. And it appears in the paragraph we just read 6 times, self, and 1 hour. And the next paragraph, 4 times it says self, and 3 times it says hour. So, you know, if I have problems, they're coming from me. I might think I'm, you know, being generous and thoughtful and kind. I may think that I got, you know, hurt when I didn't deserve it. But I sowed the seeds for all that. Like, my husband is a very good man. We've been married over 30 years. And I want to be of service to him and my family. When I'm in the food, I cannot be of service to anyone. I'm totally wrapped up in me and the food and how will I get it and how will I hide the evidence. When I think about the amount of time I spend thinking about myself and my food and everything versus thinking of God and recovery, it saddens me. It talks in the big book somewhere about, you know, I think it's about resentments, that if we indulge and indulge, like it's a good thing, in resentments, that is like the worst thing for alcoholics or for food addicted people like me. I have to, and it takes away all the hours that might be worthwhile, something like that. And it's the hours and the pain for me and my family when I'm in the food that motivates me. It makes me want to turn to God and stop being self-reliant. There's a reason we ask if we are relying on infinite God or my finite self. Most of the time, I am on myself, and I have to keep course correcting, and God does that. And I've been asking God every morning to help me feel him, because I know he's inside me. He's everywhere. And I had a couple of, like, you know, is it God or is it God moments. I work in a library, and I'm pulling up Hold. So I'm going through the aisles of books and looking for a specific book. And I get in the general area, and then sometimes I just feel compelled to reach out, and it's the book I'm looking for. This has happened twice in one day. I thought that was so bizarre, because there's a lot going on at work, and I'm not going to get into it. There isn't time, but it really was like God just tapping me on my shoulder and saying, I got this, you know? I don't have to go in circles with fear and self-delusion. There is a solution. This is the solution, this book. And almost every chapter in it calls to me that the point where you can't even read it. It's just all covered with, you know, circles and stars and outlines and highlighting. But I'm so glad to be live with you today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S. from New York. Laura W., followed by Deborah G. Please share with us, Laura.
Hi, it's Laura W. in South Jersey. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I'm actually from South Jersey on a road trip to see my college boy in Pittsburgh. So if there's an echo in the car, I apologize. But I really wanted to share on this because, you know, I've been told so many times that for me, my problems, it's not about the food. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic, but the problem is myself. It has nothing to do with food. They're not even talking about alcohol here. They're talking about self. And I've been told over and over that this whole book, the whole process, is about the death of self, the death of the old self and the rebirth of new self. And people on the line have shared that we've been given this to live multiple lives in one lifetime, and that's what this gives us, you know. I never thought of myself as a selfish person. You know, I was always doing everything for everybody, and I got resentful about it. Like, oh, how can I be selfish? I'm doing this for you, and that's for you, and I'm buying you this, I'm doing that. That's the self-pity that it talks about. And it also talks about, you know, yeah, I'm doing all these things, but in turn, all I'm thinking about is how is this affecting me? What am I getting out of it? Like, you know, God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason, so I listen twice as much as I talk, and I no longer sit there and think about what am I going to say next, that happened to me too. Let me tell you about it. And I'm learning how to listen. And you know, again, all of that response about how does this affect me, and what is this going to mean for me in my life, and what am I going to get out of it? That's all selfishness. It doesn't matter if my motives are good. You know, if my thoughts and my actions are not what God wants them to be, then I'm not really doing anything for anybody. I'm still living in selfishness. So I'm really grateful to have heard this morning, and a reminder that, you know, all the glory goes to God, and all of my recovery is His, and it's a gift. And the biggest thing is that these 10 steps work so well, and the 12th step is just, you know, it's a lifesaver, getting out of self and helping other people, because that's what God wants me to do. That, you know, the old way didn't work. So I thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Elaine B.
Oh, thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you so much for your service today and everyone's service making this meeting possible, and all your shares, 12-step in me today, and welcome, welcome to the newcomer. I am so glad that you're on the line being here with us. I'm thinking about, I'm so grateful today that I'm more aware because of being in this program and doing the step work, doing the work, the action. I'm more aware of when I'm self-centered, even though it's very painful at times to see it. You know, it's really hard to look at that sometimes, but it's there and crops up all the time. And I know I see it in my four step. And when I see it coming up, cropping up, I can take it to a 10 step so that I can get free. And just take it through that little paragraph on page 84. And a lot of it is, you know, taking it through that those four things, the selfishness, the dishonesty, the fear, and the there's a resentment. And then, you know, ask God in my seven-step prayer to remove it because I can't. I can't do it. And then see if there's an amends because I'm aware also of my behavior today when I'm in it. You know, when I'm fighting everything and argumentative and wanting to be right and all that. And then when I saw in my little page 84 paragraph, you know, I think I know what should be happening and what needs to happen. I think I know what is best. But the truth is, I really have no idea what should be happening. You know, fighting, arguing with reality, you know, it's just, And then reading on page 68, those two little paragraphs, starting perhaps, and it says in there at the bottom, how God would have me be. You know, how God would have me be, not how Deborah would have me be. And then, you know, out of self-reliance into God-reliance. And then calling another fellow and asking, how can I help? How can I be of service? Getting out of that, you know, because again, I can't get out of this myself. I've got to take myself through that whole process there. Or, you know, God, use me, use me. How can I help? You know, speak my words. You know, just totally surrendering, because I can get myself out of the way and be that channel. And it is a beautiful experience when I can feel that divine loving presence, when I'm in that flow, when I'm in that God consciousness. So I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Elaine B., please share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the line to take more names. Again, we're on page 62, that first paragraph, selfishness, self-centeredness, commenting on that one paragraph today. Go ahead, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and everybody, such great shares. Boy, this is so important for me to see, you know. Jumping off of the last part of the last paragraph, you know, aren't most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, our self-pity? Selfishness has centered us. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. You know, I was sort of raised to be really independent. You know, you want a bike, get a job. You know, I'm woman, hear me roar. Kind of the age of women rising the corporate ladder, breaking glass ceilings, things like that. I thought I needed to be fiercely independent. I have been accused of being fiercely independent, you know, and I can't remember how many times as I was working with my sponsor, gently taking me through these steps, listening to my resentments and my fears, he would often just come back and remind me and say, it's all about me. And it is. It's about my disturbances, my goals, my wants, my needs, my, me, you know, I'm doing this for you, so you like me. I'm going to do a good job, so you like me. I'm going to work really hard, so I get a better raise. I'm going to try to get into this size body, because then I'll attract the right man. All of these different things. And it was all driven by fear, self-delusion, and self-seeking. And when I didn't get what I wanted, when I couldn't make it happen, when I couldn't push the ball up the mountain or get the A on my report or get the outcome of a business venture that I really, really wanted, I would get into severe self-pity. And the only thing that seemed right was something sweet. That was the only thing that can console me for moments at a time. And it just never, ever worked. And in my self-seeking and self-will run riot, I have stepped on many toes. I know I have. And I know I still can today. And this is why I get to be on the lookout now for these things, not as, yes, I'm independent. I've got a title. Yes, I've succeeded in this world. Yes, I'm pushing through this important project. Yes, 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 me. It's all about me again. Instead of being aware of the harm I can cause and being on the lookout for my selfishness and recognizing that my self-centeredness is going to, it's the root of my problem, and I'm going to have to, I got to surrender again. I've got to come back and to the loving higher power that if you're new, you're just maybe going to begin to build a new relationship with, but to try to seek what God's will is, not mine. So not only am I not being in a position of hurting, I'm not in a position of hurting others, and I learn how to make amends when I have. So I love this new way of thinking and the growth that comes from it. And I pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. I'm now going to open up the line. I would like, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, if you would like to share with us, please give me your name.
Melanie C. Nancy L.
And Nancy L. Okay, Nancy L., we might not have too much time for you, but Melanie C., please go ahead and share with us.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater.
I was as eager as so many to be able to share on this because of what has happened to me in this, very, very piece that was helpful for me. The way that Jordan framed this whole tone of coming into this particular piece was just exactly what I needed to hear. And then being able to hear Elaine say, you know, what it ultimately, how it manifested in her, this selfishness and self-centered. It was driven by 100 forms of fear. And it makes sense then that the mind processing from that direction is going to be, I can only think about myself now. The brain has physiologically been changed because of the progression of the disease that I only had the capability to process things about myself. This is, could be about survival. It could be about 1,000 different things. It's not the kind of selfish, at least this is what I understand, it's not this kind of selfish that when I grabbed up that last bit of candy when I was 5 years old or whatever, and my mom shook her finger at me and said, "You're a selfish girl." It's not. It's the brain can now, because of the warped sense of this disease and the need to return to sanity, is that I am only able to think of myself first. I cannot fit myself in somebody else's shoes, and then it gets warped even more and more and more over time, and then starts to look at the way that Elaine was mentioning, and now I'm trying to grab up my own. I'm trying to be, so I can be okay. It's the same false treatment that I tried to use food for. It stopped working. It didn't work. I didn't know what else to do. My body, my brain, my processing could not bring in anything other than that. And the self-centeredness is the idea of, is the action steps behind only being able to think about myself. I can't. I am physiologically unable to put myself in somebody else's shoes first. It's just not going to happen. It's a function of how the disease affected my brain. Hence the reason we have to have step two, that we can build a parallel life that God can then restore that to sanity, and I can behave better than what I broke down to become before I got into these rooms. And it is a tremendous thing. It doesn't then activate any other shame inside my body. It helps me get down and get to work and understand that, yeah, I want to see what more is here so that I can truly, with my brain and my heart matched together, behave in that way that restores my humble integrity, that I can be helpful to somebody else, I can be included back into society, all the things that we read about in this book. It is a tremendous, tremendous paragraph. And there's so much more there than just the words that are on the paper, because I'm going to take those words on the paper and I'm going to translate it through my woundedness and brokenness in my brain. And it's different than that. There is love and tolerance hugely in this. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. from Oregon. Nancy L., we don't have time for your share, unfortunately, but please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear from you. Thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just a beautiful experience. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elaine B. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.